Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 93. It's September 8th, 2020. A surprising number of otherwise sensible people find it hard to see why the scope and reach of our formal schooling networks should not be increased by extending the school day or year, for instance, in order to provide an economical solution to the problems posed by the decay of the American family. One reason for their preference, I think, is that they have trouble understanding the real difference between communities and networks, or even the difference between families and networks. Because of this confusion, they conclude that replacing a bad network with a good one is the right way to go. Since I disagree so strongly with the fundamental premise that networks are workable substitutes for families, and because from anybody's point of view, a lot more school is going to cost a lot more money, I thought I'd tell you why, from a school teacher's perspective, we shouldn't be thinking of more school, but of less. People who admire our school institution usually admire networking in general and have an easy time seeing its positive side, but they overlook its negative aspect. Networks, even good ones, drain the vitality from communities and families. They provide mechanical, by-the-numbers solutions to human problems when a slow, organic process of self-awareness, self-discovery, and cooperation is what is required if any solution is to stick. Think of the challenge of losing weight. It's possible to employ mechanical tricks to do this quickly, but I'm told that 95% of the poor souls who do are only fooling themselves. The weight lost this way doesn't stay off. It comes back in a short time. Other network solutions are just as temporary. A group of law students may network to pass their college exams, but preparing a brief in private practice is often a solitary, lonely experience. Aristotle saw a long time ago that fully participating in a complex range of human affairs was the only way to become fully human. In that, he differed from Plato. What is gained from consulting a specialist and surrendering all judgment is often more than outweighed by a permanent loss of one's own volition. This discovery accounts for the curious texture of real communication, where people argue with their doctors, lawyers, and ministers, tell craftsmen what they want instead of accepting what they get, frequently make their own food from scratch instead of buying it in a restaurant or defrosting it, and perform many similar acts of participation. A real community is, of course, a collection of real families who themselves function in this participatory way. Networks, however, don't require the whole person, but only a narrow piece. If, on the other hand, you function in a network, it asks you to suppress all the parts of yourself except the network interest part, a highly unnatural act, although one you can get used to. In exchange, the network will deliver efficiency in the pursuit of some limited aim. This is, in fact, a devil's bargain, since on the promise of some future gain, one must surrender the wholeness of one's present humanity. If you enter into too many of these bargains, you will split yourself into many specialized pieces, none of them completely human, and no time is available to reintegrate them. This, ironically, is the destiny of many successful networkers and doubtless generates much business for divorce courts and therapists of a variety of persuasions. The fragmentation caused by excessive networking creates diminished humanity, a sense that our lives are out of control because they are. If we face the present school and community crisis squarely, with hopes of finding a better way, we need to accept that schools, as networks, create a large part of the agony of modern life. We don't need more schooling, we need less. I expect you'll want some proof of that, even though the million or so people participating in education at home these days have begun to nibble at the edge of everybody's consciousness and promise to bite their way into national attention when details of their success get around a little more. So for those of you who haven't heard that you don't need officially certified teachers in officially certified schools to get a good education, let me try to expose some of the machinery that makes certified schooling so bad. And remember, if you're thinking, but it's always been that way, it really hasn't. I'm going to stop there. That's the beginnings of a new essay for us from John Taylor Gatto, new to the Dispatches, I'm sure quite old, probably from the 90s or something. It says here at the beginning, this essay, a personal favorite, was written especially for the first edition and presented many times as a public speech before the book was published. And this book, if I can find it, I think is from the 90s. Original edition, 1992. Yeah, it's been around for a while. Certainly this, his challenge to the word networks, the idea of networks, the conceptually, obviously predates the so-called social networks online. And it's an interesting, I don't know what to make of this yet. I will probably end up serializing the entire thing like I did Gatto's Seven Lessons School Teacher prior. I think there's a tag for John Taylor Gatto stuff, which you can find at regular.fm/93. If you want to go back and check that stuff, there's links to Seven Lessons School Teacher. It's easy to find. It's a great essay. And I've also used it to provide. I think it's biting commentary. He delivered it as a school teacher to the government schooling sort of system. I think it applies equally well to modern media, news media. So this one is an interesting, it's an interesting beginning. He's sort of knocking networks. Networks are really interesting. They've produced lots of interesting things. The web is a network after all, and the web is pretty fascinating. It's a double-edged sword, I suppose. It's got its pros and cons. It brings so much connection, and that can be itself wonderful and also perilous. So it's interesting for me to ponder as someone, too, who's corralled the regulars now for a long time, gathering weekly. We now have a Slack where anybody can come all the time, and just participating in all kinds of other networks. The idea that they somehow, there's a signal loss, that a network has a particular pursuit or interest in mind, and it asks you to check the rest of yourself at the door. And I suppose that's where two families can't do that. When you're united with a group of people by blood, that's non-negotiable, irreducible. You just simply are. It's inherited, as it were. You don't self-select. You might, in a forward-looking way, to an extent, if one gets married or has a serious relationship, starts a family. But we certainly didn't choose our parents and cousins, aunts, and uncles, for that matter. So, and I think we'll see where Gatto goes in this. But he's really trying to, I don't know, we'll see where he goes. Talking about a community that's a broader, deeper, richer, more alive concept. It's interesting. It's really interesting. And his notion, too, about taking the whole person and having it be organic and messy and slower and self-organizing. I don't know. That it's a bit affirming, maybe. Has me wondering, like, when people ask me what the regulars is about, I really do say it's nothing. It's about nothing. It's about the people that show up and just what happens, what we decide to do week over week over week over week. We're all choosing to be there, networking in a classic sense. You know, finding out what people do professionally and looking for certain people certain skills or to learn certain things and to be pointed in different directions. All those kinds of things occur. And we talk about all kinds of stuff. And really, it's nothing sophisticated. It's just a group of people meeting for a cup of coffee. We've done all kinds of other things, field trips and, live music and all kinds of stuff, activities, excursions. But I don't know. It's interesting to see Gatto leveling his critical eye at the very notion of networks and how all that we're doing through them, we're perhaps losing something that we don't even see that we've lost. It makes me realize even more that he and Wendell Berry somehow grew from the same earth. They share a lineage somehow. I'm not exactly sure what's upstream to which they're both tributary, but it's interesting to wonder about. So hopefully that is an interesting thread for y'all. I've been thinking a lot about how we as humans interact with each other and form our groups and set our goals and targets and get things done and help each other in that journey. So it's interesting stuff for me, at least. Thanks, y'all. Talk to you tomorrow.